We're very happy again to see you this evening. We appreciate the effort that you have made to come to the meeting. And for all the men who have come to help us to pray, we thank you very much. We appreciate the support of the city at this time of the year. And so we would remind our hearts that the meeting is continuing, that the Lord be not come in fall throughout the remainder of the week except Saturday. And we trust that if our Lord be not come, for we do believe in his second coming, if he be not come, we will be happy to see him again tomorrow night. Now turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Isaiah. In the Old Testament of your Bible, chapter 64 of Isaiah. We will read in verse 6, Isaiah 64 at the 6th verse. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sins, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirring up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Now look please in the New Testament for a second reading in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. And verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. For this is one thing that always marks last day conditions, is Peter. Scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's the time of Noah's flood, I would judge. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Now one final reading, please, in the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and read in verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led Jesus unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, our king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest, Lord, that's true. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. The God who blessed thee, readings of his word tonight. Wherever the gospel has been preached in the world, it has always stirred men up. In far off lands tonight in this world in which we live, the gospel is being preached just as it is in this little building. God's good news for sinful, dying man. And it always stirs men up. Sometimes it stirs them up to anger. Because the truths of the gospel are very, very pointed and very personal. And now that I'm saved, I can truthfully say I'm thankful that God was so personal with me. He put me right in the corner, and I couldn't get out. And I was so glad he did, because that's when I had to give in. And that's when I found the Lord Jesus for my Savior. I'm glad the gospel stirred me up. And I hope tonight, my friend, in this little meeting, the three passages that we have read from God's Word will stir you up as well. Now, not to become angry. I hope not. But I hope it stirs you up. Because that's what we have read about. Three things that ought to stir people up. In Isaiah chapter 64, and verse 6 and 7, we read from the pen of the devout prophet Isaiah, he says, no man is stirred up. He was stirred up about the need and the condition of the people, but they weren't stirred up. They were just like sleeping men. They didn't seem to realize the gravity and the importance and the tremendous consequence of their condition. They weren't stirred up. And then dear Peter, I think of dear Peter, I'd love to have heard Peter preach. I want to tell you, friend, he must have been some rousing preacher, dear Peter. I want to tell you why he'd be so rousing. First of all, because there was a time in his life when the Lord Jesus stopped him when he was in darkness on the way to hell and gave him eternal life. And that stirred him all up. He wanted to see others have the same thing as he had found. And when he writes this second epistle, and he takes his pen, and he begins to write to these dear believers that had been scattered into different lands, different areas, he says, I want to stir you up. Something had stirred Peter up. What was it? The second coming of Christ. It had stirred him up. Christ was coming again. And dear Peter is stirred up about it. And he wants to see others get stirred up about it too. And then finally we read about the people when they accused the Lord Jesus at the injustice of that trial, for they didn't really give him a trial. They just accused him and told lies about him and condemned him to die by crucifixion. And they said about him, he stirs up the people. That's one thing about him. Wherever he goes, he stirs them up. The words of the Lord Jesus, the saying of Christ, stirred the hearts of the people. And friend, tonight I hope that the words of the Lord Jesus will stir your hearts. First of all, I want you to notice what Isaiah speaks about as things that should stir men up, but they're not stirred up by them. The first thing I want you to notice the apostle or the prophet bring before the people is their condition in sin. People seem to be asleep to their condition as a sinner. Well, he says, we're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness, the best things that you can do are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And we're all fading like a leaf. And our sins, like the wind, is just carrying us away like a dead leaf. And people aren't stirred up about it. They should be stirred up about their sinful condition. Now, may I just address this to you tonight, kindly but personally, friend? Have your sins ever bothered you? Have you ever thought about meeting God with your sins? Because when you must meet Him. The Bible makes it clear you're going to meet God all alone, just you and God.
And the question is going to be your sins. That's what it's all going to be about. Your sins. Isn't it amazing that people can live day after day and evade the point and not get down on their knees before God and cry for mercy? They're going to meet God in their sins, and they haven't got anything to deal with. And the dear prophet says, no man stirred himself up about us. The preacher stirred up, but the audience isn't stirred. Now I hope tonight, my friend, with all my heart, I hope, if nothing else, that I can say to you tonight, well, but this will stir you up. You need to be stirred up about your sin.
A dear lady one time in meetings that I was having like this, and speaking from this very verse in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, she got stirred up before she was mad. And going out of the meeting, that dear lady put a fist under my chin. How is he like us about being a filthy rag? All I said to the dear woman was, my dear lady, it's God that says it. And I want to say to you, my dear friend, tonight, if there's anyone in this little audience and you can trust me, if your good works and devotions set them right with God, let me tell you, and then deceive, you've got nothing.
I used to work with a dear man, he's now gone to heaven. And he used a little illustration one time when he and his wife went to a restaurant. And the first thing the waitress does is she put a little glass of water before you, of course. And the glass of water is wiped the sheet and crumbs and lips around the top. And greasy fingerprints around the glass. And of course he called the dear girl and showed her the glass where she was all apologizing. However, she didn't discover the person brought it, I don't know, but she was all apologizing. She took it away, oh my, how sorry she was. And she took it away and got another glass of water, and brought it, of course, it was nice and clean, and they did it exactly. And he used to use that illustration to tell the people that the exactly what God is trying to tell us. You and I are just like that, glass. All our lips, fingers, crumbs, and greasy fingers, that's just like the sinner. There's nothing wrong with the water in the glass, but because the glass is filthy, you couldn't accept it. And you wouldn't want one. You would be praying for that little girl to take it away and bring her another clean glass. What's required? A clean glass before what's in it is acceptable. So it is with us, friend. God has said we are all as an unclean thing. And consequently, all our righteousness is all as filthy. You and I have nothing but God has said. And my dear friend, that ought to stir you up, because some of you here tonight, I've been trusting a good life to meet God with, and things like a filthy rag, a very old glass that you would have set before your husband or wife beside. And yet you try to offer it to God as a means of reconciliation or a means of patience for forgiveness. And God says, take it away. Oh, says the prophet, when are people going to get stirred up? When are they going to face the fact that the very best they've ever done is but a filthy rag? You ought to stir them up to see how unclean they are. But then he says as well, not only their defilement should stir people up, but death. He said we're all fading like a leaf and the wind is carrying us away. Death ought to stir people. It's so final. It's so sudden. The youngster is snatched from his mother's bosom. Husband, crushed away from the embrace of his beloved wife. Wife of perhaps even still bride. Simply come down. So cruel, so final, so unforgiving. Death. Reaching the core, reaching the flesh.
the shock that reaches the hospital,
it reaches the street corner, it reaches the audience.
The sad part of it is people are stirred up. Where will they go when they die?
That's what the prophets all stirred up about. When are people going to get stirred up to face this business of dying?
Queen Elizabeth, one of the queens of England, when she was dying, she made the statement, I will give all my possessions for 5 minutes. I want to ask you, friend, when you come to the point where there's only 5 minutes, how would you use this time? The woman would give all the possessions of the throne of England for 5 minutes of time. Poor Mirabeau, the playboy, the philosopher, the atheist. He cried, give me more than ever that I don't think of eternity. Die. The doctors would be sad. The monster's clawed grasp is beginning to cut him. As he faces eternity in his sin, he's afraid to die. Mind you, friend, all of us are not half stirred up about the solemn fact that one day I will die. But I hasten and I want you to notice that the dear prophet, he's all stirred up about the awful fact of the darkness that people are wandering in. Why, so God's face is hid from them. And they're wandering in the dark, as he mentioned in verse 7 there. Thy face is hid from us, and we're wandering. They're just going around and around in the dark. And people think that they know where they're going, but they're wandering. My friend tonight, have you ever discovered that you're in the dark? Have you ever tried to get the assurance of salvation and you come to the discovery, I'm in the dark, I can't see the thing, it's all dark to me. I remember a dear friend of mine, he's now gone to heaven. He went blind. And because he was going blind, he had a time, of course, when he realized it was happening to him. And so he did many things that were quite peculiar and desired to be able to do things after he was blind. And one of the things he did was to memorize how many steps it would take from his front walk down to the corner drugstore, how many steps from the drugstore left turn to the bank, and so on. He made out a little pathway that way, and he counted the steps. When he went blind, he knew the king, nowhere. No one's going to go his blood. So he counted his steps. And when I remember the day when I received a phone call, dear fella, he headed out of his house, he took his left turn at the end of his walk, counted so many steps to the corner. And as he came to the corner, I'm going to go to him, they dug a big, big hole that fits the water pipe out of the street. And they put up one of those barriers, and there was some men working in the hole. Of course, he couldn't see. He's in the dark. And someone hollered at him, he didn't know when they were out now. They didn't know the name, they just hollered at him, I pulled up a little, watch where you're going, or look out for something. But he took no notice. And over he went. Down the river hole. Broke a couple of ribs. He banged himself up pretty good. Why did he go into the hole? He was in the dark. And he wouldn't listen to the warnings. My dear friends and I, we would endeavor with all our heart to be like the dear prophet and warn you that man in his sin is in the dark. And if you go over the edge in the dark, you'll tumble into hell. And you'll never get out. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's why God warns you. He wants to see you saved, friend. God, with all the greatness of his infinite heart, desires to see men saved. We read it, didn't we? The patience of God and the long-suffering of God, who desires that all men should be saved. He does not want to see men perish. Oh, friend, it ought to stir you up tonight that both by birth and because of the natural condition of the heart, you are in the dark and you need God's salvation. I hope it'll stir you up tonight, the defilement of your sin, the danger of your death, and the darkness in which your soul is found without a Savior. But I see dear Peter in the second passage we read, and he too is stirred up. And I tell you,
a preacher's group when he gets stirred up. And half the preachers that we aren't stirred up enough about the fact that the Lord's coming. It might be my last preach tonight. The Lord Jesus is coming again. It may be your last meeting tonight, for Christ is coming again. And dear Peter is all stirred up. See him as he takes his pen. Now he says, I want to stir you up. And the word that he uses there is, I want to give you a little shake and wake you up. Wakening by shaking him. My friend tonight, I hope God's word will shake you up and give you a good stirring. Dear Peter, as he writes this word here, let's stir him up. The shortness of time. Time is short. He said, last day conditions are prevailing. And that's 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Peter, by the Holy Spirit, he's not exaggerating. He's not in the dark. By divine enlightenment, he takes his pen and he writes, last day conditions are these. Scoffers, men who laugh at the Bible, men who mock the Lord's coming in judgment. And they say, why? When will he ever intervene? All things go on as they were. Why Christ will never come back and judge us? Never. And they scoff at his coming. But I want to tell you, friend, he's coming, and the time is short. As in the moment that the Lord Jesus steps to the air to call his loved ones away from this earth before the judgment falls, will be the final moment for your salvation. He's coming, coming swiftly, says dear Peter. Let him come in a moment. The coming of the Lord will be so unexpected, like a thief in the night. He'll come and be gone, and it'll all be over. And the door is open to you tonight. Mercy from God for your sins to be forgiven. Salvation for your soul, that you might be ready for this moment. It'll be closed in one moment. You may be laughing when it happens. You may be taking a drink with your friend when it happens. You may be on a dance floor when it'll take place. You may be in a gospel meeting when Christ will come. But he'll come in a moment. It'll be over. And your laughter will turn to weeping. Your joy will turn to brokenness of heart. As you face the solemn reality, the door is closed and lost. And lost forever. Stirred up, dear Peter. Oh, he says, I wish I could see people stirred up. How will they go to their bed at night, knowing that Christ is coming? How will sinners lay their head upon their pillow and dream that all is well, and tomorrow's another day of fun and pleasure, and realize that tonight the blessed Savior of sinners may come, and I'm not ready? Stirred up, says Peter, silent, that people are not stirred up. We're all too fast asleep, brethren, all of us. We don't live in the good and the power and the reality. Christ is coming. God help us to tell poor sinners. And I challenge our souls today as you lay your hand on the shoulder of any sinner and tell them of God's salvation today. Christ is coming. Thank God is coming. And oh, for sinners, how sad it will be. Friend in the meeting tonight, we love your soul and God loves you more than any of us. Or all of us together can love you. And he wants to see you in heaven with him. And he wants to see you delivered from the darkness of your standing. He wants to see you ready for the Lord's coming. He wants to see you stirred up. Christ is coming. Coming swiftly. And dear Peter, he closes the little book. And he says, oh, thank God for the patience of God. God is patient. How patient God has been with you, your young man or woman. How patient. God is so patient with me. Oh, I did not be saved. I thank God I got saved. He saved sinner. And this poor sinner got saved one night sitting on the side of his bed. A little room with the word of God in my hand. I found the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I trusted him. Took him at his word, and he died to put all my sins away, because he loved me so. And I have to tell you, friend, every time that I sit down quietly to think about the love of the Lord Jesus for a miserable sinner like me, it breaks my heart. I wish you would do it more. You love me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dear sinner, I don't know anything about you, but God does, and he chose to love you too. And give his beloved Son unto the glory of heaven to go to Calvary. to open the door of salvation for a sinner like you, and it's open tonight. Don't miss it.
Don't miss it. Christ is coming. As I sit down, I remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus that stirred people up.
My, I think of men that got stirred up one day when the Lord Jesus was talking about the forgiveness of sins that stirred them all up. My, I hope there's some sinner here tonight, and the word of the Lord Jesus will stir you up. Listen to them. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. My, what a word of hope for you tonight. Here you are, you're still on earth. You're still here, friend. And the Lord Jesus has power to forgive your sins. Whatever you do, don't miss them. How else will you get them forgiven? He's the only one with authority to forgive. And the gospel of his grace proclaims he is able to forgive. He shed his blood at Calvary to pay the price to heaven's throne for your sins. And the gospel invites you to come as you are, as a sinner, and he'll forgive you. He has power on earth to forgive sins. And I think of John chapter 3, when dear Nicodemus sat on the rooftop with the Lord Jesus that night, and for the first time in all the history of the world, John 3:16 was spoken. It must have been glorious. Dear old Nicodemus, the first man to hear, for God so loved the world. That takes you in tonight, friend. You can't avoid it. Thank God, my God has loved you. And on the basis of it, we tell you, he gave his beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And without him you will perish. But with Christ you can never perish, but have everlasting life. By the love of God for poor Gentile sinners, it's melted their hearts. And I hope it will stir your heart and melt your heart tonight that you might turn to him and to somebody. Oh, that God might stir this audience. We're not half stood up enough. None of us. None of us. And dear sinner on the way to hell, I hope God stirs you up about your sinfulness and stirs you up about the Lord's coming and stirs you up by thoughts of the love of the Savior who went to Calvary and purchased eternal life for your darkened soul. God stirred you to flee to Christ tonight before the door closed.